The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
In this series, we have done the importance of the will of God as the first. And then we came to declaring the will of God. Then last Wednesday, we did the subject, the will of God is nigh thee. We may make references to it as well today. And today we are handling filled with the knowledge of his will. But we'll start with a scripture before we come to the main text. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting verse number 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Now take note of verse 14. But the word is very nigh. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Let me add 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And it goes on and on and on. The book of Deuteronomy is seen as the book of the second law. The things that were spoken about in this chapter or in this book, God had spoken to Israel about it already. So God was repeating it, he was reiterating it. God wanted the idea to be properly established in them, because at a point in time, Israel departed from the covenants of God. They pursued strange gods and hoping that miracles and blessings will come from those strange gods. God was not happy with them, so he allowed that they be taken into captivity. And God was telling them that if they would change their ways and return to him and serve him with their whole mind, with their whole heart, and with their whole being, then he will restore them. Even if they have been taken to the farthest end of the earth, God said, I will bring you back to your land. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He said, even if you have been taken to the farthest end of the earth, I will bring you back and give you the land that I promised your fathers, that you may possess it. Look at verse 4 of the same Deuteronomy 30. Now let me start from verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Look at verse 4. If any of thine be driven unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence the Lord thy God will gather thee, and from thence he will he fetch thee. So God is saying, look, if you disobeyed me, and because of that you were scattered by some strange winds, and some of you have gone to the farthest end of the earth, if you repent now and return to me as your God and decide to serve me, I would do the following things for you. First of all, I would deliver you from captivity. I would deliver you from captivity. That is in verse 3. And then I will bring you back from the farthest ends of the world. Then God says that I will bring you into the land which thy fathers, verse 5, possess, that thou shalt possess it, and he would do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. In other words, God says, I did bless your fathers, but when I bring you back, I will bless you above your fathers. Oh, I'm prophesying to you now. Your father is blessed if he's alive, and may he be blessed more. But God says he will bless you above your fathers. What he did for them was good, but he would do the best for you. So God was speaking to them. Then he came to the point, and then he told them that the word of God is not in heaven. Did you see that? Verse 12, he says, the word of God is not far from you, from verse 11. And he says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go to the sea and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. So God is saying, look, my word is not just kept in heaven, that we need to go up there and bring Christ down. My word is not beyond the seas, that somebody must have special skills and go and bring the word of God. By that extension, I say the word of God is not under the sea, that some supposed mermaid, Mami Water, will go and bring the word of God to us. The word of God is not in some mountains, that unless we climb the mountains, we cannot hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is not in the cemetery. It's not in tombs, that we must go to the tomb of a person and offer libation so that he will speak and we will hear. The word of God is not under trees and not under rocks. The word of God is not in some lungu-lungu remote part that you must go and meet a man who is dressed funnily and with a very funny face who is not himself blessed and claiming that he can bless you. You're not getting what I'm saying. But it says that the word of God is nigh thee. Oh, come on, put your hands. You should be clapping. So the first point that we are raising is that the word of God is nigh thee. The word nigh means near. The word is not distant from you. The word is not far away from you. The word of God, I mean, is not remotely placed. That is why the Bible talks about fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the word. Because if the word was far away, how could we fellowship with it? The word of God is not beyond your reach. All the scripture is saying is that the word of God is easy to be obtained. It's one of the easiest things, if you want to obtain, that you can get. In fact, in the original, that word nigh means the word of God is approaching you. The word of God is pressing on towards you. The word of God is moving towards you. So three things in the original. The word of God being nigh you means the word is approaching you. The word is coming fast. If the word had not come to us, we would not have been born again. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and discerning the intents and of the heart and the thoughts of man. So the word of God is close. In fact, the word of God is closer to you than your wife. The word is closer to you than your best friend. Oh, as for me and my best friend, we are tight too. If you see me somewhere, you will see my best friend. The word of God is closer to you than your blouse or shirt. In fact, the word of God is closer to you than your skin, than your flesh. The word, where the word is so close that it cannot be far. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Now, this very scripture we read said the word is very nigh. It didn't say it's nigh. In Romans chapter 10 that we read the other day, it said it is nigh. But this one says, that's verse 14, Deuteronomy 30. It says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. The word is near, it's not distance, it's not far away, it's not remote, it's not beyond your reach, it's easy to be obtained. The word is, as I'm preaching, is approaching you fast. The word is pressing on to deliver your family. The word is moving toward you to establish the will of God. And I said the word is quick and powerful. Can you clap? The word is working or it's approaching you. The word is in your proximity. Very close. Closer than your best friend. Closer than your garments. Closer than your flesh. The word is close. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that this word will be obeyed. Now, it shows us where the word is close to. Number one, in our mouth, and number two, in our hearts. So in Romans chapter 10, it states the same thing. But the point of departure of the two scriptures, Deuteronomy 30 and Romans 10, is that Deuteronomy said that we may obey it. Then Romans 10 says, is it not the gospel that we preach? In other words, that we may preach it. So number one, the word is close, so we would obey it. And number two, the word is close so that we will speak it. Oh, come on. Come on. The word is close so that we will comply. The word is close so that we will walk in it. The word is close so we will be obedient to it. The word is close so we will apply to our lives and in our circumstances. If the word says we should forgive, let's forgive and leave it. If the word says we must be patient, let's be patient. Because there are different seasons in life. If the word says you must be joyful, there may be no reason immediately to be joyful. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, shout amen. Amen. If the word says live holy and don't be associated with them that are corrupt, that's what the word is saying. If the word says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, that's what the word is saying. When the word tells you pray regularly and pray daily and pray intensely, that is what you must do. So that we are obeying it. Now, having obeyed it, we'll get to the level where now we can speak it. Amen. And it is at that level that God will confirm his word with signs and wonders following in your life. I am prophesying to you that henceforth God is going to do some supernatural, some overwhelming miracles in your life. So the word of God, so the first thing is the word is near us. Number two, the word of God is the will of God. We have the general will of God, we have the specific will of God. There is a general will of God toward all Gentiles. And there's a specific will of God toward Israel. toward all Gentiles, God wants us to come into his kingdom. As for Israel, he has chosen them. Although they have rejected the Messiah for now, they will receive the Messiah when the Antichrist comes. So there is a general will of God for a nation, general will of God for a community. And there can be a specific will of God for your family. The family could be like artisans, well-skilled, and molding things that will become historic, you know, materials like Bezalel and co, gifted highly. God can have his specific will for the family of Aaron and for your family as well. That the family, everybody is a priest there. There are some families, they are all lawyers. There are some families, they are doctors. God has specific will. There are some families, accounting is their bread. So God has specific wills for families, and he also has specific wills for you. Put your hand on your chest and say, by the grace of God, I will understand and discover the perfect will of God. Oh, say it aloud, for my life, in Jesus' name, say amen. So the word of God is both the general will of God, it is not the will of God that any man should perish, and it is also the specific will of God, like the will to Apostle Paul when he was then Saul, and Jesus appeared to him on his way to Damascus and says, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And Jesus revealed to him the purpose for which he has come to this earth. In order to understand the will of God, we need to study the word of God. Because the word is his will. And if we want to know his will, whether general or specific to our lives, we still need the word of God. So we must study the word of God. And in studying the word of God, we are studying his will. It is in these studies that we become filled with the knowledge of his will. And I'd like for you to please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. That's why I picked the title of today's message, filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, let's go on. For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Apostle Paul says that from the day I heard about your salvation, that all the people in Colossae, some of them had given their lives to Jesus Christ. Wherever I was, I did not cease to pray for you. And Paul prayed continually, and there was a specific subject over which he was praying, so that these people would not be baby Christians. There was a specific angle from which Paul was praying, so that these people would not live and miss the will of God. But he said he was praying for them, and his desire was that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, number one, in all wisdom, number two, and spiritual understanding, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The church must be an interceding church. The Christian must be an interceding Christian. And must not just be praying for the self, but must be praying for others so that they mature and develop into the image of Christ. And one of the things that will facilitate and bring to pass this development into the image of Christ is that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Today, can I declare the word over you? Well, only a quarter of you say. I say, can I declare the word over? In the name of Jesus. I said, in the name that is above all names. At the mention of which this every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In the name of he who died and rose up from the grave, I declare unto you, may you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding in Jesus' name. Can you shout amen? This one will solve your accommodation problem. It will solve your financial problem. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. It will solve the problems about your worries and anxieties and stress. It will solve them. Amen. So, what is being filled with the knowledge of his will? You see, if you look through scriptures, the Bible talks about others who preached. And when they preach fables. And they preach about genealogies. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. These people preach no message, but they preach about fables and endless genealogies. Instead of preaching the truth, the undefiled word of God, they were preaching fables and nonsense. They were telling stories and not preaching the pure word. And they would tell the stories and people would laugh. And meanwhile, they would leave church with nothing. In fact, the worst thing that can be done to a church to remain in the babyhood stage is for the preacher not to preach the fullness of the knowledge of God. And you must not be happy when you sit in such a congregation and the person has a lot of kweku anansi stories. We may bring in some fables like the Aesop fable to compare something and move on, but we cannot base the whole message on just fables. Number two, the Bible says that they were engaging in genealogies. They were just talking about genealogies, and the Bible says endless. It was endless. I like it when we were young and then you were met by one of your father's relatives. Then when they came into the house, do you know me? I said, no. I said, I don't know you. You know I don't know you. Oh, do you know your father's sister who lives at Azizanya? Whose uncle is around so-and-so-and-so? And in time past, they migrated from Brongahafo. We are starting there. And they came to the south and they married and they brought forth. And it was one of them who married so and so. And after that, they produced 3 children. One of them was the one who brought forth your father. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or are you following? You are not following what I'm saying. So these people have all kinds of things to say, and I don't know you. Can you imagine I've come to church and I'm preaching endless genealogies? You cannot be filled with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will is talking about being filled with accurate knowledge of the word of God. Accurate knowledge, not twisted knowledge. Not somebody's own thinking. Paul said in Acts chapter 20:27, he said, I have not shunned to present to you or to preach to you the whole counsel of God. I have not failed. I made sure that what God wanted me to preach was exactly what I preached. And I made sure that I preached on end times eschatology. I made sure that I preached on how the demons fell from heaven. I made sure that I preach on our salvation, how Adam fell and Christ came to die and we were restored and the blood of Jesus washed us. We who were far away, the blood brought us nigh. Paul said, I have not failed in telling you the whole counsel about prosperity. So God wants us to know the truth and the accurate knowledge of the truth. And God wants that each time we meet, there is something little that we add to our lives. We may know it already, but there may be a statement that will open our eyes and lead us into a place that will bring miraculous explosions and blessings to us. Shout amen if the word is blessed. You know, there's trouble when one believer has opened his or herself. Let me give this example. You have a lady who has opened herself up to the fullness of the knowledge of the will of God. Then she goes to marry another person who is not even filled with quarter of that knowledge. And is not interested in the knowledge of the will of God. And you think that pastors and counselors have a magic wand? No. The two of you will be thinking separately. And the two of you will be doing things separately. That's why when you find somebody, we say, oh, can we meet the person and look into his eyes? And have discussions with him or her. And ask a few questions. We want to know the background. What is the area of interest? Because otherwise, that person may become a liability. Oh, he's nice when I'm sick. He picks me to the hospital. He pays the hospital bills. He's very nice when my mother is not well. He even picks her and buys medications for her. That's fine. But does that constitute the fullness of the knowledge of his will? I'll leave it here. Because you see how serious it is. It is like somebody who doesn't have knowledge about piloting. And you have handed over your life to the person that he should pilot you from here to Cote d'Ivoire. It's like somebody who doesn't have knowledge in medicine and surgery. And you have presented yourself that he must handle your gallbladder and he must cut you open. By the time he stitches you, your tummy will look in and out. So understanding the knowledge of his will is the whole counsel of God. Secondly, he says, understanding the knowledge of that will in all wisdom. In all wisdom. In all wisdom means with insight. That's what the Amplified Version says. With insight into God's purposes. Understanding the fullness of his will in all wisdom means you must have insight into the purposes of God. What's God doing now? What will God do at the end of age? And why is God taking me through this period? Then thirdly, and spiritual understanding. Understanding means comprehension. I didn't like mathematics too much. Reverend Blankson, did you like mathematics? You did? Okay, well, then let's clap for him. I have a pastor friend. He likes mathematics, so when he travels, he buys mathematics books. He didn't study mathematics in the university, but he buys mathematics books and calculates it just to make his brain sharp. Me, the day I finished my math exams, I lifted my hands as if I was Manchester City in a victory over what? Inter Milan. I just lifted my hands and said, forward with Jesus, bye-bye to the world. Now, mathematics is about comprehension, about understanding, so that you know what theories to apply. If you don't know what theory to apply, you read a question, underline things, read it, chew the back of your pen in the exam room, and read it, and do your own calculation. But when somebody comprehends it, as soon as the question appears, you say, oh, this is Pythagoras' theorem. Oh, this one, if you use dy dx, you will solve it. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. So the Bible says that you are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, so that you understand the details of the purpose which you are called. And secondly, and in spiritual understanding, you will comprehend what God is doing. There is a grace that brings sharp understanding to you. It's in the book of Isaiah. The Bible describes it as quick understanding. It says when Christ comes, one of the grace you will get is quick understanding. I'm prophesying to you. May you receive quick understanding. When we teach about finances, may you receive quick understanding. When we teach about salvation, may you receive quick understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? If a person is of slow understanding, you will explain, say, do you understand? It's the person who smiles, I don't understand. You will explain it again with illustration. The person who smiles, and then you will explain it again. If you marry somebody who is of slow understanding, be ready to explain 15 times. Explain and explain. Say what he has here. The important thing he has here. But people of sharp understanding, as soon as you start the scripture, for by grace are ye saved, then they get up through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Come on, they are quick to understand. They know that. So God wants us to have spiritual understanding. We must pray for it. When you get it, the nagging issues, the difficult issues, you will be able to unravel. They will no longer be confusing to you. There will be a joy, excitement to resolve and to move on in life. Then the next part. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? We say the first part is that the word of God is near us, it's not in heaven. Number two, we say the word of God is the will of God. And number three, we are saying that the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which we preach. The word of God is the will of God. So if the word of God is near you, then the will of God is near you. And if the word of God is in your mouth, then the will of God is in your mouth. And if the word of God is in your heart, then the will of God is in your heart. So the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you confess? You confess the word. As you confess the word, you are confessing the will of God. You are speaking the will of God into being. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, can I hear a more solid amen? Amen. The Assyrians besieged, and I heard Reverend Winfred Dacum using that illustration in the week. The Assyrians besieged Israel in Samaria. They surrounded them. They wouldn't allow them to go out. They just shut them out from the rest of the world. They had no visitors. Nobody brought them crops. Nobody brought them food. Nobody brought them fabrics. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And so the little they had ran out completely. And the situation became precarious, so that they started eating one another. It was in the midst of this that the prophet of God stood and prophesied. You see, the will of God is in his mouth. You're not getting the thing now. You're not getting. The circumstances were bad. There was no food. The toilet of a dove sold for high price. Can you imagine the toilet of a dove selling for the price of like the arm or the shoulders of a cow? Toilet. The situation was serious, and there was nothing to be done. But the word of God was in the mouth of the prophet. So he stood in the public, he stood in the open and said, tomorrow by this time. Church, God has sent me to prophesy to you today. Oh, come on. I thought you would shout and clap better without any hindrances whatsoever. Tomorrow by this time, no longer will you be marking time. Tomorrow by this time, no longer will opportunities pass you by. When the good opportunities come, God will help you identify them and grab them in the name of Jesus Christ, and they will work for you. You will not live a life where you want, but you cannot get. Whatever you desire, whether you think of it or whether you speak it, God would do exceeding abundantly above that which you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. By that I am saying that the life of unfulfillment is over. You don't understand. The life where you want something, you can't get it. Where you desire something, you can't get it. Where you struggle and struggle, you can't get it. I said that life is over. I said that life is over. The capital is coming. Your husband is coming. Your wife is coming. Your children are coming. A peaceful home is coming. A job promising is coming. Promotion is coming. Health is coming. Shout amen, somebody. Tomorrow by this time. Tomorrow by this time. Tomorrow by this time. You'll be able to cater for yourself. Tomorrow by this time. You will pay for whatever you want to buy. You will pay cash for a car. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Tomorrow by this time, your money that somebody took away and hasn't brought it all this period, your money is coming back home. Because God will not make the person sleep. The person will not have any comfort until he has brought back all the money. Tomorrow by this time, you will have your own keys to your house. You will have your own keys to your car. You will have your own keys to where else? Tomorrow by this time. Tomorrow by this time. It will not be sorrow, but your life will be filled with joy. In fact, I'm saying that tomorrow by this time, your life will be a life of fulfillment. A life of satisfaction. A life of rejoicing. A life of celebration. Because God would have performed the miracle. If you agree with me, let me hear a big clap offering. The situation was grave. The circumstances were difficult. Things were bad in Samaria. But there was the word of God. It is nigh thee. Today, in the place of Elisha, it is you. If you will believe the word in your heart and open your mouth and declare, salvation will come to you. Oh, can I hear an amen? I said, salvation is coming to you. Whether online or in person, salvation is coming to you. Salvation is coming to your house. Salvation, salvation. The word of God is nigh you. If the word is nigh you, then even you can play. You know, when I say play, then you can desire for some Italian food. If pasta and pizzas are what you like. I like the way you smile. Like, where is Kokonte? That, may God bless your lovely soul. Oh, che, pizza. Ni namwai jijie. You should get to a place you desire Chinese, and then all you realize is that Chinese is coming. Sister, the way you are laughing, your Chinese food is coming already. I said, the will is in your mouth. I said, the will of God is in your mouth. I said, the will of God is in your mouth. So open your mouth and declare it. That I will not live a frustrating life. I will not live a depressed life. I will not live a hopeless life. I will not live a life without fulfillment. But my life will be top notch. Open your mouth. Say, whatever I need is coming to me. Whatever I require, God is providing it. even when I haven't thought about it, God will surprise me. Oh, can I hear an amen? Finances are being transferred. Guess whose account they are coming to? It's your account. I say it's your account. The word of God is in your mouth. The will is in your mouth. You should get ready and say, I'm going to have one of the greatest marriages that people cannot imagine. In fact, the wedding itself will be crafted by God. And the venue will be spectacular. And when we are coming, you will hear the march, the song. Speak the will of God. We will go for holidays in Spain. Oh. We would ride on a cruise in Italy and go to Greece. Open your mouth. Don't be afraid. Declare the word. If you don't speak it, Goliath will speak. Everybody is speaking except the Christians, and when they speak the wrong thing. But now you will open your mouth and speak the right thing. Furniture appear in my house. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Don't be scared to declare your mind, to speak your mind. I say your money is coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. God is going to finance that project. God is going to take care of that event. God is going to, he's going to do amazing. The word of God is so close to you. Don't resign and sit and say, I have to go and see a prophet. Travel beyond Togo, Benin, go to Nigeria, and go to Cameroon. No. The Bible says the word of God is not beyond the seas. And it's not in heaven. But the word has been revealed and manifested. Then he said the word is very nigh, very near you. Your next accommodation is closer than you imagine. It's near you. Your business prosperity is closer than you think. The will of God is with you. Sister, the will of God is with you. Sister, I said the will of God is with you. Yes. It's with you. You don't need to beg anybody. You need to bow down and do some strange things to be accepted. The will of God is coming majestically. So you must also be prepared to walk majestically and embrace the will and say, will, you are for me. Can I hear an amen? But before this will occurs, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 30 that for the word of God is very nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in their heart, that you may obey it. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Under no circumstance does the one who puts food on your table receive a frown from your face, despising the person. Under no circumstances should you argue. If the person is even insulting you and has put food on your table, just keep quiet. A day of deliverance will come. But don't make a mistake that you cannot correct. You can never go back in the past. If you said to your mother that you are a fool, foolish woman, you can never go and unmake it. It's even recorded in heaven. How do I know? Numbers 14:28. For as long as I, the Lord, live, even that which you have spoken and have heard, that will I do. If you insult your mother, God will insult you. So the people that God has given oversight over you, you cannot dishonor them. You cannot dishonor them. And the will of God will be happening in your life. You can't. We have all been young before when sometimes we were misunderstood and we were prejudged. We just kept quiet. That phase of our lives have passed. And the pain that we got, we are not trying to inflict the same pain on others. If you live somewhere and you are sent out because you are stubborn, the day you walk out, God would deal with you as a stubborn child. Oh, until you change. You cannot insult people like that. Get up, insult your husband. Get up, insult pastors. I saw you. We have a generation of young ones who don't want to submit themselves and inconvenience themselves small. They sleep from crankran to crankran. When they were playing the soccer last night, it was the cup finals, but my reception was poor. I was listening to commentary. Then I slept. When I woke up, I said, yes, I'm fresh. I woke up at 11. I slept around 4:45. Then you will sleep and leaves will drop from the trees. And nobody will sweep the house. Just sweep the house. Then you frown. I give you 1 month. If you continue, you'll be thrown out. Like Hagar. You have to change. The change must be seen. No child should be able to insult another. Even if the adult is foolish, you should not be able to open your mouth. Even if the adult is mad, you should be quiet. Then you start working senior secondary school mathematics, then your shoulders are high. Hey! You will feed yourself. You are using electricity. You open the tap the way you like. Oh. And when they call you, you frown. Ah! You see, what you learn outside marriage, you take it inside marriage. And it is that frown that may destroy things for you. You may take it into a job. It is that frown that would drive away the customers. It's a curse to be thrown out that way. Unless you seek God and beg Him so that you are kept. Can we clap to the glory? If you watch those who play soccer, we call them footballers. You find that some of them have ego so much they cannot serve in a team. They cannot play for a club because the club members, this guy is not part of us. Humble yourself. Bring yourself down. Let somebody direct you. Let somebody ask you to wake up like a military man at an odd time. Let somebody ask you to perform a task that you are not happy to perform. But by the time you finish, you have acquired a certain skill. Oh, come on, put your hands together. When we're living with our father, how dare you sleep after 6 a.m.? You have to wake up and clean the louver blaze. And I was very shortish. See how short I am now. And see how shortish I was when I was 10 years old. I'll take a stool and stand upon it, and I will not reach the top. And said, then you can say, clean it, clean it, clean it. If I had not been made to work that way, I would have been a very lazy husband. And I may have been a liability on my wife. Sometimes we raise people and they say, ni namole nune. Because you are a minus. You are a liability. You are not a plus. And everybody is saying the same thing about you. If there's anybody being stubborn in the house, bring the person to me. I bless you. I ask God to empower you to deliver what you probably may not have been able to deliver yet. I ask God to give you the grace to carry yourself with respect and dignity. The Bible says the spiritual person carries himself in a way that nobody judges him. If they would judge you every morning, then you are not growing. Do you polish your father's shoes? Ask the young one here, do you clean your mother's shoes? Young lady, when the plates are left over, do you wash them in the evening before you go to bed? Or do you rush early in the morning to clean them? Iron your shirt, you won't iron it. When you wear it, it's as if you have pulled it out of a bottle. To squeeze into a bottle and pulled out. Kevin, I can't hear back. I like the way you're laughing. Sometimes we don't plan what to preach, but when you just allow you see, I've stopped looking at my notes. Respect, and God will lift you. Shall we clap? I finished my message. If you have to clap, clap very well. Oh, come on, give God a praise. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Never be disobedient to any adult. Don't frown like that. No. Don't squeeze your face every morning. If the head of the house squeezes his face, you are going out in 3 months. Yeah. He comes to me, he doesn't smile. You greet him, he doesn't smile. You say, Daddy, they said we should bring this to Susu. Okay, I've heard. But you are frowning. Today, we are going to give the offering with a smile. I don't want any serious face. Unless you are bereaved. Please bring the offering boy here. The way you are smiling is nice. Keep up the smile. Amen. Please come in no particular order. Just keep, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver.